All right, it's Friday on DGS. Dave out for the day. Be back on Monday. And, of course, Rachel, Andrew, and I here hanging out till end of the show, 5 o'clock. And then it's right into the weekend. Very hot weekend. I don't care what Amy says. It's hot.
99 is a lot.
I mean, I'm not shy of heat. Like, I'm out in it all the time. It's fine. It's not something. I mean, I went to college in Miami. I know heat. And this is hot. I mean, that's just it.
You said that so longingly. You're like, we're here till the end of the show, and then
it's hot.
It's the weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen,
I think we're all feeling a bit like that.
I went right into meme mode. Didn't
yeah.
I? Right into Daniel Craig on Saturday Night Live.
I do love that video.
It's the best.
That account that on Twitter little... that posts it every day at 5 o'clock or yes. every Friday at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, the account that's called It's the Weekend. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the weekend. All right, speaking of that, obviously, you know, Friday, Saturday's good days to go out to eat, go hang out at a restaurant of your choosing. I don't know if I have that in the plans this weekend. Maybe tomorrow night. But, Rach, you had a list of the 10 things that are the most offensive things that you can do in a restaurant, and I'm curious to see how that would stack up against the things that I think are offensive in restaurants.
Yeah, this was a survey conducted by YouGov, and they polled more than 1,000 Americans back in April to find out which behaviors from restaurant customers are the most unacceptable. So these are the top 10 bad diner behaviors. Let's start with number 10 and work our way to number 1.
Oh, yeah, let's get to the worst one last.
So number 10 is flirt with the staff.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, don't do that.
Now, does it depend at all on to you guys on the locale?
Oh, like if you're going to like
the style of place, the
yeah, if you're going to like Hooters, isn't that kind of part of it? Like
that's even maybe more cringe.
Really? Oh, I thought that was part of it. Was like they like me. Like I thought that was the vibe. Like they're trying to give off.
Yeah, but they don't though. Like you still should like. You as the guy, right? Yeah. It's sort of like going to like the club, right? You should act like you've been there before.
So she can flirt, the server can flirt with you, but you should just respectfully be like, yes, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Well, you should just, I mean, just don't be a creep. Just act like you've been
there
before.
Yeah, see, that's a good way to put it. And act
like it's not your first time talking to a woman.
I would agree that generally speaking, that is a bad idea. But if you're of a similar age, I don't see it as being a big deal. What I don't like is you'll get like people, dudes my age, and you have a young waitress, and then they get weird.
Yeah.
You know, hey, honey, hey, dear, like, stop. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't.
Just
everyone hates talk that. Don't do that.
Yes, right. Don't. It's just that part's known. But I can see where at times, again, if you're both 23, I don't see the harm in that kind of thing generally, unless you're in a place where it would really be weird. Right, like let's say you're at a white tablecloth type place.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably a little weird to be going that route.
Or a McDonald's.
Right. But if you're at a B-dubs or something like that, it would be a little different thing. But it is weirder when you're much older.
Yeah. It is. It's also, even if you're the same age, if you're like, wow, she really seems to like me and she's catering to my every need. It's like, well, this is
her job. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe just take all of that with a grain of salt.
Your job title is server.
As a general rule, that is probably not the greatest approach.
Right. You can find another place to pick up a date. All right. Number 9 is occupy a table for an extended period during busy hours.
I hate people that do that. That happened to me. So when I was waiting tables, this would have been probably been like the summer of 1994, somewhere in there. I was working at Houlihan's at a really, really, really busy mall in Schaumburg, Illinois, which is it was just suburban Chicago, huge area. Like there's little high rises there, very busy business thing.
Biggest Schaumburg family.
Dude, I've been to Schaumburg.
It's nice, and they have really nice malls.
Mall
is super nice, but it's also surrounded by a lot of corporate things and a lot of business. So our lunchtime was packed, and these two guys sat there and had a normal lunch, right? They had sandwiches, I don't know, whatever, soup and sandwich, whatever the normal lunch would be, and refills on drinks and coffees and stuff. And I'm not kidding, they sat there for 2.5 hours.
Oof.
They cost me, so I would have turned that table at least 3 more times if they hadn't done that. At least 3 more, which would have been at least another 20, 25 bucks just on that one table, given the way people ordered food at that restaurant in that area at that time. And then at the end, they walk away and they leave like a $3 tip.
Mm.
And I followed them out and gave them the $3 back.
Whoa, that's aggro.
Said, you need this more than I do if that's all you can afford.
Yikes.
They were not happy. They asked to see the manager. The manager gave me a little bit of crap, but then he said, you had a point, but don't do that.
Yeah. He's like, you're kind of my hero, but don't ever do this
again. He's like,
again.
Don't ever do that again.
I respect you so much more than I did this morning,
like,
but also don't
do
that anymore.
If you're going to do that to somebody for whatever reason, you need to have this meeting and you're there and do it, then you should tip accordingly because you are absolutely costing that person money.
Yeah, we shout out to Zia's on the Hill, a wonderful restaurant. Years ago, my wife and I, a friend of ours, was having kind of a rough time. So we were like, we're going to take her out to dinner and hang out with her, spend some time with her. And we ended up being there for like 4 hours. And what we did not realize was that, because we were sat all the way in the side room in the back. So we could not see really any other. We did not know this. We stayed about 45, 50 minutes past like straight up restaurant closing.
Oh, wow.
And the staff never said a word. They never complained. They were never like, hey, can you guys leave? When we left, there were like birds on a perch. They were like all standing by the door, waiting for us to leave so that they could leave and go home. And so, we apologized and basically like emptied our wallets onto the table.
Good.
Like, please, please, please. We're so sorry.
Good on you.
No idea. You guys didn't say anything. And they're like, it's fine.
Number eight
is leave a big mess at the table, such as spilled drinks or an egregious amount of food crumbs.
Yeah, that's the worst with when people bring in babies, like young children, and then they give them the crackers and then the crackers end up everywhere. I think that that's a good way to put it. If it's out of hand, just don't be a slob.
Right.
Like, it is my job as a server to clean up some, but it's not my job to clean up after your hurricane child because you didn't feel like, interacting with them while you're eating.
How did servers feel? Because I always do the thing, because I'm a little tryhard, where I like stack the plates for them and I make sure all the napkins and straw trash are on the plate.
I appreciated it.
Like, do you guys care about that, or is it just like, don't do that?
I mean, I didn't expect it, but it was nice. You're like, oh, great. I just have to grab that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number seven is show up 15 minutes late to a reservation. I guess that would be pretty annoying especially if
somebody
a busy
expects
place.
To be sat, right? Yeah. They're like, well, we gave your table away because you weren't here.
Right.
Yeah. I would count that. I don't think it's as egregious as the ones before it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Number six is bring outside food or drinks into the restaurant.
Dude, that is so rude.
That's crazy.
And I've had times where I have asked restaurants if that was okay. And most of the time the answer is no. In fact, I think in a lot of places it's illegal.
Oh, wow.
You're not allowed to bring outside food into their restaurant because they don't want to get sued if something's not good. I'm not sure exactly, but I know
that. Allergic reaction.
I know there may be. I know there are places because I know for. I set a birthday party up thing for Susan, and we went to Bob Chin's in Chicago, which is amazing. It's a really awesome seafood place. And I called in advance, and I'm like, hey, that'd be okay. And they're like, we're not really allowed to. It's actually against the law where we are. And I think it's maybe a city-by-city thing, or I don't know, but generally that's pretty rude. Yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder what the main, a birthday cake or something makes total sense.
Right.
But if it's like, I have this half a sandwich that I'm just going to finish at this table before we order, like, what are we doing here, folks? What's going on? Okay, number five of the 10 most offensive things you can do at a restaurant. This one makes my blood boil. Snap their fingers to get the waiter's attention.
Don't do that.
So rude.
That's only number five?
That's number five.
That's bad, boy. The next ones must be awful.
Yeah, that's really
Here's
bad.
Here's the thing. Don't snap your fingers at anyone.
Yeah. Just don't.
Maybe kids.
Sometimes I snap at my cat to get her to pay attention to me.
I know. That's how I do my dogs, right? My dogs aren't paying attention. It's like snap, snap, and then they're like, what?
Or Amy if she's like far away and you're trying to get her attention about something.
No, don't snap at Amy. Number four is probably the worst thing you could ever do to anyone ever. Stay past the restaurant's closing time.
is that on there?
Yeah, it really is. Really the worst one. It should have been number
one. Like I said, huge shout out to the staff at Zia's. They did not say a word. They never even gave us the implication that they would like us to be done and leave. The other person in our group was crying a lot, so that might have
maybe
it was me. I was crying.
I do think that, like, I mean, I've done that when I waited tables. I have come up and said, hey, we're closing in 10 minutes, and I put the check on the table. I'm like, we're not rushing you out the door now. It's not like you have to get up and leave, just so you're aware,
because and I think that's fine. I would not have been offended or hurt by that at all.
I wouldn't either. I don't know if it'll be on there, so I hesitate to bring it up, but I'm going to bring it up anyway. So if it's above this one, Rach, we'll just mention it. But the worst thing is the people that come in 10 minutes before close and expect to be served.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That is not okay.
Yeah.
At a sit down. In a fast food place, that's totally okay. Because you can get fast food. It's supposed to be less than 10 minutes. It's supposed to be just a few minutes. But if you're going to a sit-down restaurant and you're coming in 10 minutes before it closes, don't ever do that. You're horrible.
Where's the limit for you? Like, what's the, like, how close to closing will you
half
sit,
hour?
Will you go in?
With the explanation that, hey, we close in a half an hour, just so you know.
Man, if you order. I even think half hour is cutting it close.
Yeah,
I wouldn't
it's
go,
fine, though.
I think mine's like an hour.
Like,
yeah,
most
same.
Food can come out in less time than that.
Yeah, but you gotta eat it.
And... Yeah, but I'm saying, but that's, there.
You got to play on your phone for 40 minutes.
It does depend on it, but most places are not.
Got to get that big cry out, you know?
Yeah, most, you got to cry for a while.
Most places aren't packed half an hour before closing.
That's true.
So food will come a little quicker, you know. But the later than that, too, forgetting the wait staff, the kitchen staff, that's just not cool. Because late in the shift, they're starting to clean things up.
I was going to say,
they
got to clean.
Yeah.
And if they have to throw more burgers on the grill or whatever, they got to then re-clean the grill.
So that's why I usually tend to say half an hour, unless it's a place, like, again, if it's a fast food-ish place, you can go in there right up to 5 minutes before. I don't care.
Ooh, can I give a big shout out, actually? Because I just thought of last summer for Kurt's birthday, we went to Wright's Tavern. And it was, first of all, one of the most incredible meals I've ever had in my life. We had a 10:30 reservation. They're open late. We were one of the last people there. We ended up being the last people in the restaurant. They were still technically open. And they were like, are you sure you don't want dessert? Are you sure you don't want this? They were so accommodating.
Oh,
like,
that's
even
awesome.
That late.
Nice.
It was so nice. That place is awesome, right?
Yeah, that's
Tavern.
Phenomenal.
All right, number three. I'm wondering if this ever happened to you, Wheels, when you were serving. Debating menu prices with the staff.
Wow.
Not really.
I've never heard of that.
I don't think I did, but I also worked at a chain, so I mean, I think they kind of assume that there's nothing we can do about it. I did get really dumb questions about, like, you know, what's on the hamburger. I'm like, ham and burger.
Ham and burger.
Obviously ham.
No, I don't think, I wonder if that's is that a thing? People actually will be like,
I mean,
not worth $20.
I've never heard of that. 84%
of survey respondents deemed it unacceptable. So I guess
I would agree that it's unacceptable.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's unacceptable. I like, just didn't know it happened.
It's right there in print for a reason. If you don't want it, don't order it.
The number two most offensive thing you can do at a restaurant, according to research firm YouGov, is allow your children to roam around freely.
Yeah, that again, little bit depends on the place, but 99% of the time, yeah, don't let the kids just run around.
Yeah. And the number one most offensive thing you can do at a restaurant, say that you won't pay for a dish that you didn't like, but you ate the whole thing anyway.
Those people are the worst.
Yeah, those
what's
people
going through
definitely
their heads
exist.
When they do that? Like, oh, it was disgusting, and there's one bite left.
Yeah, I'm guessing they didn't think it was disgusting. They just decided to try to get it for
right.
free.
Yeah, I went to a Buffalo Wild Wings at the lake last weekend on vacation, and there was a couple behind me who did that. They ran that scam where they left. There was suddenly a huge problem with the last wing on the plate.
Yeah.
And then they, talking amongst themselves once the server had left, they confirmed, they were just making that up so that they could. He was like, see, I told you we get it for free.
That's so slimy.
Yeah, you're the worst. Don't do that. That's Friday at DGS. Rachel, Andrew, me. I almost did it again. I almost referred to myself in the third person.
That's Wheels, everybody.
Wheeler is here. Wouldn't it be great if I just did that all the time?
Yes.
Did you guys watch Boardwalk Empire?
No, I've never seen it.
There was a character that did that all the time. He would just come in and he was serious as could be and just referred to himself as his own name. That's the best. I'm just going to do that from now on. Like, hey, Wheeler's here.
Who's Wheeler? Well, that would be me.
That would be me. Yes, that's me. I am that. Rach, you identify with Ben Affleck.
I do. He recently gave this interview. And he was talking about how famous his wife, Jennifer Lopez, is. That's not the part that I identified with. The part that I identified with is the fact that he's always being photographed looking miserable and mad. And he, you know, you've seen the photos of him like picking up his Dunkin' Donuts order or something. And he looks just in complete anguish for whatever reason. And a lot of people point to that and they say, this is proof that he's unhappy in his marriage to J-Lo. He came out and said, look, That's just my resting face. That's just what I look like. People are projecting something onto me that I don't feel about myself at all. And I suffer from RBF, big time. And all the time people are like, are you okay? Are you mad? What's wrong? And I'm like, this is just my face. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to plaster a smile on my face so I seem a little bit, so it's more comfortable for you, I guess. But this is just my face, people. So yeah. Ben Affleck and I are kind of kindred spirits in that way, I suppose.
Also, sometimes being annoyed, frustrated, and all that is the same look as being bored.
Yeah, or just like zoning out, or just my neutral face is just kind of like, there's not, I don't have a big smile going on. I just don't.
Well, it would be way weirder if Ben Affleck walked around with just a giant smile all the time.
Yeah, like a Joker smile.
Like a Joker smile. He's like walking around smiling. Because, you know, like the average dude looks at it and goes, come on, Ben. You're like, you're worth probably $100, $200, $300 million. You're a movie star. You're married to J-Lo. What could you possibly have to not be smiling about? And, of course, everybody knows that real life exists, even if you're rich and famous and all of that. But, yeah, I mean, it would be a lot weirder if he did that. If he was just like smiling all the time, like, yeah. Hey,
I am a sire. That's why I kind of identify with Ben, because you frequently catch Ben when he's like, it's like I get
old
that.
Sigh.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta sigh.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just gotta like, it's like venting, you know, nuclear gas or whatever. Like sometimes you just gotta.
He said
that
even
just depends on what you ate.
He says even his family is like, are you okay? And he goes, I'm listening to a podcast. I wasn't focused on my facial expression. I'm sorry, this is just the way I look.
I am definitely I'm trying to think of the right way to put this. I am definitely not going to care what expression is on my face as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
But I can promise you that if you see me and I'm in a line and I look annoyed, I'm probably annoyed. But it's about the people around me and not anything greater than that. And I got a craving for some audio.
All right,
you
let's
guys
do
have
it.
Audio? I got some audio, I think.
I've got some.
All right, let's play around with audio. What do we want to do?
You want to start with mine?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, so I saw
this. I don't know why I said that so weird.
Yeah.
I went all Andrew there.
I saw this on Twitter earlier today. I'm kind of wondering if it's fake because it's so over the top, but it could be real. So there was this mother who hosted a play date for her daughter and a friend. And after the play date, decided that she needed some money from the other mom. You know what? I'm just going to play the audio because it's kind of all contained in here, and then we can talk about it later.
Can we normalize sending the other family money for play dates? So recently, my daughter had a friend over, and I asked her mom for money, and this is how it went. So after the play date, I texted her mom and I said, thanks for letting Jamie play today. Please help out with your share of the expenses for the play date, totaling $15 via Venmo. Let's do it again sometime. Because I can't keep doing these play dates if it's so expensive. And she said, expenses? And I said, yeah, she used supplies and food while she was here. And this way we can do this more often without a monetary obligation on just one party, right? Makes sense. Now, she didn't say much, but she did say what supplies. And of course, I wrote them down. There was chalk, applesauce, fruit. She sat on the couch, so that's wear and tear. She actually broke a toy. She had 3 juice boxes. She went to the bathroom. She had yogurt. Then she actually sent the money, and I sent her a message thanking her for it, of course. She didn't say anything else, but I said, you know, this will make it easier for us to do more play dates in the future. So what do you guys think?
I think there will be no more play dates.
That's
with
not
that
real,
woman.
Right?
She's
making that up.
She seemed sincere, but I wonder if she was just really good at baiting people and getting engagement.
Yeah, that's what it feels, especially the wear and tear on the couch.
Yes, charging
a
dollar.
Get out of here. Get out of here.
I mean, charging someone for your child using chalk.
Which, yeah, did she use a whole box of chalk?
Right, and even if she did, what is that, $4? juice, you gave the kid a juice box and you think that you should get paid back for that. She used the bathroom and I guess she flushed her toilet.
This feels like engagement farming. Feels like I'm going to make everybody angry and this is going to go viral.
I'm not so sure because I've heard people complain about that before. I've heard some moms in the neighborhood.
Andrew, you're hanging out with the moms in your neighborhood?
That my
Andrew
family,
and his mom's group.
In your wooded area neighborhood?
That my family is friends with complain about that being like a part of the cost of like, it's also the fact that like when you have a play date,
with somebody else's kid, you are watching, like, that's child, you are providing child care for the other person.
Oh,
well, he almost cussed.
He did. I almost broke Kevin.
All right, not what you're saying, just this concept. The idea is you're doing something for your child.
Right.
And because her friend gets to come over, so it's for the kids. And the whole idea is, like, yeah, you like you take turns. Like, one day you come to my friend's house, my house, and then the next day my friend comes, I go to their house. And, like, that's how it worked. If it's an arrangement where it's like, hey, can she come over and hang with you guys, like, every Thursday and Friday after school for a few hours because I won't get home. That's a different thing, and maybe you can talk about
right.
some of those other things. But if we're just, it's a play date. It's not, that cost is not a thing. Like, what is happening, assuming this is real, that's insane. And if I were the other parent, I would absolutely send the money, and my kid would never be coming over to your house again.
I think that's what's going to happen. The fact that the other mom never responded, she's probably like, this woman is crazy.
That's insane.
But it seems like we've just lost the ability to be gracious and to be a good host. Because we're so worried about, like, oh, are they trying to pull one over on me? She sat on my couch. She owes me a dollar. Like, oh my goodness, just open up your home or don't. You know, none of this is necessary. You don't have to do this. But to be so, like, miserly that it's like she had a juice box, you have to pay me back. That is not being very polite.
If I invite you guys to come over to my house for dinner, I don't expect you to pay for your cost in dinner.
Right, because you invited us.
I'm asking you, we're arranging this so that because we're friends. I'm like, come on over. I'm not going to be like, hey, when you're walking in the door, hey, leave $5 on the table. Yeah. That's how much it's going to cost for the burgers that I'm going to grill. That is just so stupid. Of course, we did see the story of the woman that wanted to charge people for her holiday meal.
Right.
Is it Thanksgiving?
Yeah, Christmas, Thanksgiving, like, something.
Again, don't host.
Right.
And I still feel like that's fake. I still feel like this lady is just trying to get, just seeking anger.
I hope it's fake, but she seemed for real.
If anybody out there is actually considering that or trying it, don't do that. That is the worst way to handle any of this. And again, I know this is a terrible way to put it, but there's no way that the cost of a juice box is setting you back that much.
Even if you're...
And if it is, don't provide it. Just let her drink water.
Right.
And then, of course, charge, like, here's 2 cents for the water.
Right. You know, we got that water out of the Brita filter. We're going to make it 4 cents, actually.
God, I hate that lady. I hate that lady either way.
Right.
If
she's
it's real,
or not.
I hate you. And if you're just doing that to get clicks because, you know, rage gets people going, I hate you for that, too.
What would you like to play, Wheels?
Let's see here. Let's since we're on the rage topic, let's play the open AI. All right, so this is the audio you're going to hear is Mira Murati, who works for OpenAI, talking about AI in the space of, like, of creative work.
I think it's really going to be a collaborative tool, especially in the creative spaces where
I do too.
Yeah, more people will become more creative. Some creative jobs maybe will go away, but maybe they shouldn't have been there in the first place. You know, if the content that comes out of it is not very high quality, but I really believe that using it as a tool for education, creativity will expand our intelligence and creativity and imagination.
Okay, so two things here. First of all, having something else do something for you is not you being creative. So it's not enhancing your creativity. It is replacing your creativity. Mm. The second part, the insulting part that really set people off was maybe these jobs didn't need to exist to begin with. And here's where I took it. I'm curious what you guys think. Because, yes, there's the personal insult to the people that are going to lose jobs. But there's also the part where AI is actually learning from those people and taking the work that all of these people have done over all of time and then just repackaging it in a different way, and you're acting like their work isn't somehow benefiting your development of artificial intelligence. That's insane.
Yeah, that's very well said, Wheels. And the whole, like, we're eliminating creativity. I try to keep an open mind about AI. I have high hopes for it. I'm trying not to just see it as like, and then I lost my job because they created an AI, you know, podcast and they didn't need KMOX anymore. But I saw a commercial the other day where it was like, I'm going to take a picture of my fridge and then the AI will just tell me what recipe I can make. And I'm thinking, I guess that's cool, but it also, you're handing all of your decision-making over to this machine at that point. Mm-hmm. You're not using your brain at all anymore. How is that a good thing?
Yeah, so just the other day, I was playing around with this because on my Gmail, there's an AI tool that I just noticed. I don't know how long it's been there, but it's probably been a while. But I just noticed it says you can create a theme for your background using AI. I'm like, oh, okay, let's see what that's all about. And you go in there and you pick kind of a subject. I think I picked space. And then there's a subtext. There's like another menu underneath that, like stars or nebulas or planets. And you click that and then you pick like a mood and then you pick like, I don't know, a couple of things. And then you hit it and this picture comes up, AI generated. And that's now your background on your thing. I'm not creative for doing that.
Right.
I had no creative part of that other than saying I want a nebula and I want it to be, I forget what even thing I picked. I don't know. It was like, I don't know, happy or something stupid like that. Like, that wasn't me exercising creativity. That was me playing with a tool that took 3 seconds of just mindless button pushing.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like calling yourself creative for ordering a delicious meal at a restaurant that a chef created. It's like, ooh, yum, that was good. I did such a great job picking that out.
Yay me. I'm so creative. I chose a meal that someone else put together for me.
All right.
Anything else you guys want to get to? There's
you
a bunch
anything,
of them.
Andrew, you would like to play? What about this Biden audio? This seems promising.
Yeah. So that there's
anytime we can make fun of Biden, yeah, let's do it.
Well, this one's not necessarily that. This is two things of Biden. The first one here, that top one is he was speaking, I think, outside the White House a couple days ago, and it was very. I don't know. We give him a lot of trouble for stuff, but sometimes he really says something like poignant that really kind of speaks to the heart. And this one kind of moved me a little bit.
The 6 second one.
Mm-hmm.
She knows so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured.
And I really, you know,
that hit home. That, yeah.
Yeah. It kind of, I don't know. It kind of lit my soul aflame a bit. Can we hear that one more time?
She knows so long as she was denied, our freedom can never be secured.
That's so true.
When he's right, he's right. You know what I mean? And you got to give him credit, I think, for that.
These two.
Absolutely.
These two. I feel like I'm in Bizarro World with the stuff. Like, you know, if you have to choose between being electrocuted and getting eaten by a shark, what are you talking about?
Oh, did you see the new thing that Trump's doing right now? Is he just gave an interview saying, like, I think Biden's going to be a pretty formidable opponent on that debate stage. And I'm going, what are you talking about?
All you do is talk about how stupid he is.
It's like how, like, inept he is. How are you changing course now? Like, what is the strategy?
I really hate that part of our world.
Yeah, me too.
Like all of everything is, because when you're talking about like, oh yeah, this is great, you know, the Biden stuff. So yes, literally everything that Biden and Trump say is hilarious and stupid.
Yeah.
And in some way you're just like, how?
I have
how
to laugh.
How is this
though,
the choice?
I have to laugh so I don't cry.
Yeah. Because every now and again, it does hit me. I was just telling Kevin this earlier. It hits me about maybe like once a month, once every 3 weeks. And it happened yesterday, so it was kind of at the top of my mind, where like something will happen and we'll be talking about Donald Trump for one reason or another. And I'll just go like, oh my God, he was really the president. We made him the
and might be the president again.
And probably will be again. But we are like, no matter what happens in the future, like that part's already done. We already gave him the presidency
once.
And then Biden will have
a huge flub. And it's like, oh, that guy is currently president.
Here's the president. Right. You got a bug on you.
Right.
It's more like it. He said it too. Oh, you got a bug on you.
The nonsensical guy we just played is the actual president right now.
What about this other one?
So I feel like we often forget when we talk about Biden that he's like a huge jerk. Like he's not nice at all.
He does go off on people.
Yeah,
from
he's
time
like
to time.
Super mean to people all the time. And this is a TikToker was asking him about his stance on Israel and if he plans to actually do anything about what Israel is doing. He keeps intimating that maybe he's going to do something about it, and then he never does and never specifies what that might be. So he got very upset with the TikToker at the White House who was asking him this question.
And I know you're a typical press guy. You're grabbing me in front of this all this stuff. And I trust you as far as I throw your phone. I have a good arm, man.
Absolutely.
I can throw a long way. But my point is this.
Yes.
Long pause.
I have made very clear to the Israelis what they have to do in the near term. If they don't, what's going to happen?
So what's going to happen? Is the U.S. going to cut off funding?
I came because usually you tell me I have a nice suit and you didn't comment on my suit today, so I don't feel a little offended.
Thank you.
Please step back in, sir, please.
Thank you.
Man, I don't trust you as far as I could throw your phone.
Yeah, and he like kind of like grabs at the phone a little
bit. But then he said I can throw really far and have a good arm, so you must trust him a bit.
Right. Man, I also don't like how he was like, you're a typical press guy. I'm not a big fan of when the highest office in the land punches down at the free press.
Yeah.
That's not my favorite thing.
We've seen that two presidents in a row now who have that kind of like antagonistic relationship with the press. I don't know. That's a bummer to me, too.
I'm sorry if this sounds overly simplified, but I don't care. If you are in that job, there should not be a question that you could be asked of you that you can't handle.
Amen.
Especially when it's on one of the hottest topics of the day. You should have an answer to that question prepped and ready the minute you walk out of bed because you know you're going to be asked about it. And if you can't handle it, I don't care if your name is Biden or Trump, if you can't handle a question that's difficult, then stay home. We don't need you. We were just talking before we came back. Rachel was talking. We're just talking about the team that I coach. I coach 14-year-olds, and I love doing it. They're all great kids. But coaching youth sports in general and all that, it just has, you know, sets of different challenges and things that go along with it. But a lot of times, I gotta be honest. I feel like I'm in the lucky category over the 11 years that I've coached a team, like a specific team, and the 17 years that in St. Louis. That I've done lessons and worked in practices with program, you know, the Gamers program and things like that, that I've been really lucky to be around good people, great parents and all that. But then you get this situation like I saw in the news in Pennsylvania, right? There's a little league in Pennsylvania where apparently some families or maybe one person paid to have an airplane fly over with a banner to out another parent that complained to the league about something they didn't like. And they said it was this guy, is like Zach or something like a Zach and with his last name. And it's now a big story in Pennsylvania because what happened was there's this little league that had a season going on. And then the league directors decided to cancel the end of the season because a lot of players were now moving into travel ball as opposed to this league. And they figured, well, if the travel kids are leaving, like this, we'll just shut it down early. And this parent was like, well, no, why are you doing that? Like, that's not fair to the kids that aren't going on. They should get to finish the season that we all signed up for to play, right? And I thought that's a valid complaint. I don't think that that's being weird. And the dad involved has a kid that plays travel ball at a different age, apparently. People want to blame travel ball. See, travel ball's ruining everything. The reality is the league ruined it. The league either has to schedule properly so that they can finish before travel ball starts, or you just finish what you started. Whatever that means, right? You made a commitment. You built a schedule. Don't just end early because it benefits a certain group. And everybody wants to blame the travel ball parents or the travel ball teams, and that's not really what it was there. To me, that's a league not planning in advance and not saying, okay, well, we need to be done by this time because that's when the other schedule starts. But then how about the pettiness?
Oh, that is insanely petty.
The pettiness to spend, they said it's around $1,000.
Whoa!
To have that sign that just goes up there and says it was Zach, whatever his name was, who complained. It was him. And first of all, who cares if he complained? That was a pretty valid complaint, I thought.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't think that was anything like, you know, like if it's the parent that's like, you know, spreading bad rumors about other kids on the team, well, then fly a banner.
Right. Spend a couple of grand
right,
on that.
If they're actually doing something mean and terrible to kids, that's fine. But all the guy did was, I think, lodge a valid complaint about completing a season.
That's horrible.
Yeah.